let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 5 again. I'm going to read in a moment from Jeremiah chapter 5. I'm going to read from verses 20 to the end of the chapter, just a few verses. And the title of the sermon this morning is this: Spiritual Answers in Perplexing Times. Spiritual Answers in Perplexing Times. You imagine if you're one of the elect of God and all of this chaos is happening in the Old Testament church, worship taken over by the whole world's agenda, and you're hearing preaching that's, as Jeremiah says later on in chapter 23, what has straw in common with wheat? And Jeremiah says all these false shepherds, they're throwing down straw for the sheep and saying to them, eat it, it's good for you. And yet the elect of God, the sheep, are trying to munch on straw and can't even chew it. And wondering what's happening to them. So the Bible gives us very plain answers in every generation. And the title this morning is Spiritual Answers in Perplexing Times. And so here we've got a little mini sermon, one of many sermons that Jeremiah had to preach. And let's hear this sermon that he had to preach here from 5 verse 20. It's what the Lord tells him to preach. Declare this in the house of Judah, in the house of Jacob, proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I place the sand as the boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps for us the weeks appointed for the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you. For wicked men are found among my people. They lurk like fowlers, lying in wait. They set a trap, they catch men like a cage full of birds. Their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and rich. They have grown fat and sleek. They know no bounds in deeds of evil. They judge not with justice the cause of the fatherless to make it prosper. For they do not defend the rights of the needy. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? Spiritual answers in perplexing situations. What are the main doctrines to begin with, first of all, in the book of Jeremiah? And it's this. In terms of redemptive history, Jeremiah has this difficult task to prepare the way for the coming of Christ, which he would never see. The sure coming of Christ. We know from the beginning the Lord gave him a promise. He says in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, they will fight against you, but they will not prevail. Can you imagine Jeremiah having to preach and say, your sins have caused this to happen? And imagine preaching, hear this, O foolish and senseless people. In verse 20 it says, declare this in the house of Jacob, proclaim it in Judah. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? He would go to the temple and the temple courts and begin to preach. And he preached the truth, but the people didn't like it. The Pharisees have been heaping all kinds of lying teachings, and now Jesus came and preached. And likewise, Jeremiah declared this in the house of Judah. Jacob, proclaim it. Proclaim it. In other words, cause it to be heard. Perhaps Jeremiah wished, maybe I can just whisper in a corner with two or three of my friends who will really appreciate this. But the Lord says, no, I want you to declare this, perhaps in the temple courts. Imagine preaching this. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people. Perhaps they'd be thinking, who's he calling foolish? We're not foolish. We know God like he does. And so where are we in the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah is going to prophesy the coming of Christ. It's going to become one of the most important books in the Old Testament because it's Jeremiah who prophesies not only the exile, but the return from captivity after 70 years. And it was Daniel who was praying this prophecy to be fulfilled. Ezra and Nehemiah were strengthened by what Jeremiah preached. But Jeremiah didn't see that. He looked on the hill on a far day, and it's Jeremiah's task to preach the truth. So this is where we are in redemptive history. God is using Jeremiah in preparing the way for the coming of Christ. If you've been near Meadow Hall, it seems like they're building some huge new building, and they seem to be spending weeks or months clearing the rubble from some old steel firm. I presume it is a steel firm, and it's taking a long time to remove all the rubble. Well, that's Jeremiah's task. Jeremiah's task is to be involved in removing the rubble, but he will never see the building built, but he's to preach faithfully, and so we must always be faithful to the Lord. So we see in salvation history from Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 20, declare this in the house of Jacob. It's all pointing to the day when Christ will come. Another doctrine for us this morning from this passage is the love of God. You say, the love of God? How can this be the love of God? Would God speak to people like this? Well, this is the love of God. Why do we say that? Well, Hebrews chapter 12. The Lord chastened those whom he loves. And so the Lord is bringing correction. He's not leaving them in their foolishness. Jeremiah is preaching. A third thing is redemptive history, the love of God. We also learn about the remnant chosen by grace. And so the Lord promises there will be a remnant, but it seems if there's chaos all around. It wasn't a popular thing to be faithful to the Lord in Jeremiah's day. But there's a remnant chosen by grace. In 5 verse 18, the Lord says earlier on, but even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. The devil, false teaching, false prophets, can never quench out the purposes of God. Do you believe that? The devil, false teaching, and false prophets can never quench the purposes of God. And maybe at times it seems as if the lamp is dim, but the Lord says, it won't go out. I will not make a full end of you. So I hope this will be pastorally helpful for us this morning. You know, spiritual answers in perplexing times. John Calvin said, every one of us from his mother's womb is an expert in inventing idols. The first commandment is what? You shall have no other gods besides me. The people of God here had thrown away the God of the Bible and had adopted all kinds of traditions and worship practices and ideas from the nations around them and brought it into the church. And thought, well, if they do that, why can't we do this in the Old Testament church? Now, to bring it up to modern day, how can this apply? As we'll look in a moment. I've only got two headings for us this morning. False religion and true religion. False religion and true religion. And Jeremiah has to preach first against false religion. And you don't know what's true sometimes unless you also know what's false. A friend of mine in the States said to me there was a church down the road from them that was so desperate to attract people. Do you know what they did? They announced, this is a true story, they announced on a billboard outside the church, alligator show next Sunday. And so they were encouraging people to come and watch an alligator show, hoping that would build the church. We were having family worship once, and someone around our table said, what would happen, Dad, if the alligator got out? Well, I don't know. It's a good question. It probably would affect church growth, I imagine. But We think of the folly of the things that have come into the church today. There are churches in Sheffield and in Yorkshire that have apparently mosh pits. I don't even know what a mosh pit is, but it's something that nightclubs have for dancing and kind of like a rave. They have mosh pits to try and bring in all kinds of worldliness. And in a sense, the church should be a world-free zone. You don't want to come into the church to be replicating what the world has. When we're in the States, there's this church, Grace Presbyterian Church, and they were planted in Douglasville at the same time as another church in town. I can't remember the name of the other church. Grace Presbyterian Church have gone down a straight down the line, preaching the gospel track, and they have about 200 members today. One of the elders told me there's another church in their same town that was began on the same time as them. Grace Presbyterian Church has 200. This other church has 3,000 people in the service in Sunday morning. And the elder said, do you know what they do? All the walls are painted black. And when you come in, all you can see is the musicians, the guitarists are all wearing white t-shirts. And all you can see is the white t-shirted guitarists and strumming away in this black room. And then the preacher, if that's what you can call him, he brings his words of encouragement on a bar stool. And 3,000 come, and the elder said to me, they don't preach the gospel. And yet, what is it? It's in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31. My people love to have it so. You think, how can it be? Why would people want to go where the word of God is not preached? Where God is not honored? But I hope that this morning that Jeremiah 5 can help us, encourage us, not foster in any way self-righteousness. We need the Lord. But helped as what it's God really preaching through Jeremiah and explaining false religion. And then we'll look at true religion. So briefly, false religion. What does false religion look like? Well, it says in 5 verse 21, he has to preach this, and then says, hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. What's the first mark of false religion? Is that people will not listen to the preaching of the truth. Paul says they will gather around themselves preachers that will preach what their itching ears want to hear. So the things we face today is not a new problem. We see it's an old problem. In fact, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. They don't listen to the preaching of the truth. And that's why the Lord says, verse 21, hear this. Hear this. And God has given us two ears. And we're to hear the preaching of the truth. We don't need a bit of encouragement from a man on a bar stool saying every day is a Friday. Which some people go around proclaiming, as if every day is meant to be just almost like the weekend kind of attitude. So the first mark of false religion is that people won't listen to the preaching of the truth out of the scriptures. What about a second mark of false religion? Verse 22, the Lord says, do you not fear me, declares the Lord. Do you not tremble before me? In verse 24, they do not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God. The first mark is that people will not listen in false religion to the preaching of the truth from the Bible. Secondly, there's no sense of the fear of God. Have you ever experienced that? No sense of the fear of God. In fact, the fear of God is not even something what people pursue. Well, why is that? Well, there can be no fear of God except through the openness of the scriptures before us. And so the Lord asks two questions. Do you not fear me? And we know the answer is they don't fear him. Do you not tremble before me? The answer is they don't tremble before him. In fact, false religion will never talk about the fear of God. Because false religion really wants people's minds actually dulled completely. And yet the fear of God is a non-negotiable, not in my sight, not in our denomination's sight, not in the sight of Reformed teaching or evangelical ideas, but in the sight of God. Do you not fear me? And then do you not tremble before me? These false teachers were not laying bare people's sins and calling them to repentance. Rather, these wicked men were leaving people in their sins and telling them, everything's okay. Jeremiah 6 saying to them, peace, peace. And all they were being given was teaching about themselves, smothering their ideas about God. And so they're made to be left in their own sinful condition. A third mark is that these people are full of iniquity and sin, the Lord says in verse 25. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you. You see, this won't make Jeremiah popular. The nation of Judah was in decline, and things were getting very difficult at this time. And the false prophets were saying, peace, peace, everything's okay. Well, you look around and you say, well, everything's not okay. Peace, peace, they kept on saying, when there is no peace. And Jeremiah later on had to preach, the Babylonians are coming and they will win. The false prophets were saying, don't worry about the Babylonians, everything will be okay. And Jeremiah further, he preaches against sin. False religion will never preach against sin. False religion will make little mention of sin. But Jeremiah preaches here, or the Lord through Jeremiah says, it's your iniquities that have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you. False religion doesn't search the conscience and the heart. It actually wants to leave people in their own sinfulness. Jeremiah says it's your iniquity. Another word for iniquity is what? It's rebellion. Your rebellion has caused this to happen. So false religion will not preach the truth out of the scriptures. False religion leads people, they do not fear the Lord. It leaves people full of iniquity and sin. And let's be honest, when you start preaching against sin, people will fight against you. A sinful man may use all kinds of excuses to get the attention from themselves to something else. But we mustn't do that. And we know it's an age-old problem, don't we? Because we know what Adam did when he sinned. What did he do? He ran behind the trees. And sometimes we ourselves, we run away rather than running to the Lord. Psalm 43, oh, send forth your light and your truth, and let them lead me. And then another mark of false teaching is that they were captured by false teachers in verse 26 and 27. Like a cage full of birds. Anyone ever keep birds? Maybe a budgerigar, or maybe, I don't know what other kind of parrots you can have, can't you? I don't know what other kind of birds you can have, but they're like a cage full of birds. Their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich. They're captured by false teachers who are like fowlers who set snares for people. There can be all kinds of enticing kind of methods and ideas. If you come to us, we will promise you all kinds of false blessings, perhaps. Capturing people like a cage of birds, setting traps. Let me just say, you know, before any of us think, well, you know, I'm too smart for this. Well, may we never think that. Because I'm not really into hunting and things like that. But one thing I do know is that when farmers set traps to catch something, a trap is never set so the animal sees it. It's maybe a trap that's in the field, and then the farmer covers it with leaves, doesn't he? Covers it with leaves and maybe some twigs and whatever else. And then maybe the animal comes along unsuspecting, and boom, all of a sudden it's caught in the trap. So may we never think that we can't be captured by false teaching. Perish the thought. And these false teachers know no bounds for evil. And let me say, there are things happening today in the church. I'm beginning to sound old, but I wouldn't have believed would be happening when I was converted. When I was converted, there was no such thing, really, or hardly at all, as women preachers and pastors. And I remember when this began to be passed by the Church of England, there was a real uproar. Something had never happened in the history of the church. Now, it never makes the news. More than 50% of the ministers in the Church of England are women. And things have moved on today. So, never could have imagined that homosexuality would be so accepted in the church. And we're not saying that we don't love sinners. We love all kinds of sinners. But now it's even worse. A openly professing homosexual even gets ordained into some Christian ministry. And so these people, they know no bounds for evil. What's the equivalent for us today of false religion? We could look at false religions, but Jeremiah, it says, verse 20, declare this in the house of Jacob. He's not preaching in the house of Edom. He's not preaching in the houses of the false gods of the Moabites. He's preaching to the professing people of God. What's the equivalent then and now? I think it's worldliness that's entered many sections of the professing church in the Western world. And my people love to have it so. Give us the world not just in half, but in full measure. Let's use all the world's methods. And yet, what does it produce? It's interesting for the children and also for all of us how many animals are mentioned here. We mentioned a cage of birds. Did you mention, realize the other animals that are mentioned here as well? And how vivid the language is of the Lord to get the attention of the people. In chapter 2, the Lord preaches and says, you've become like a restless young camel. Sometimes people talk about the young, restless, and reform movement. Sometimes it can be more restless, perhaps. And we're not to be like a restless camel, but come into God's rest. The Lord says some of the people of God were like wild donkeys. And then we see that Babylon's coming. And what are the animals that God says they will represent? Babylon's going to come and bring judgment on the people of God. He's coming. Babylon's coming as a lion, as a wolf, and a leopard. All animals that will catch their prey. And so in the end of the day, we've seen in this nation what false religion produces. When liberalism bit in at the end of the 19th century, church after church began to close. And if God's people don't hold firm against false religion, it will lead to spiritual disaster for the people of God. God's purposes will be fulfilled. And so we must never look for short-term gain and influence, but continue on a steady path. And isn't it a sad verse? And I hope it helps you and I this morning. The summary of false religion. Can't blame the preachers now. Can't blame the elders. Can't blame the prophets and the priests. Now the Lord puts the finger on the people and says, but my people love to have it so. And as a result, they're going to go into captivity for 70 years. So that gives a portrait of false religion. What about true religion? Let's just go back over those verses now and look at the opposite. I've not seen the new £5 note yet, but I'm told it looks good. Looking forward to seeing one. If you want to know what the true and the counterfeit is like, you've got to compare things. So we'll go back over this passage briefly, and we've seen what false religion looks like. Let's now consider the opposite of what God chastises and is true religion. And Jeremiah is a very important book because Jeremiah is used in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is compared to Jeremiah. Jesus constantly exposed false religion. And remember, he would say this phrase. He says, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. So Jesus didn't just go around preaching nice things. He brought good news, but it's the same message. He says, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. And so he constantly had to contrast between what's false and what's true. And we need this in every generation. So our second heading is true religion. Let's just go back over these verses. What would true religion look like? Well, verse 21. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people. Hear this. True religion is committed to hearing the truth of God. True religion is committed to hearing the truth of God that only comes from the Bible. We're not dealing with false religions this morning, only dealing with the people of God. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, not just taking, you know, a few verses here and there and wrapping them up. But, I mean, I've got to say, you have to wrestle with yourself preaching Jeremiah chapter 5. But we need the passages like Jeremiah chapter 5. It's got truth to teach us. And remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this, how he repeatedly in his ministry, remember that? He would say in the parable of the sower, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Mark 4 verse 20, Jesus said, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Hearing and understanding, Jesus says, are marks of a true church and a true Christian. And so hearing, you've got to be in the house of God to hear, but then you've got to be in the house of God where the word of God is preached. And so the Lord Jesus Christ places much emphasis on hearing. Let us ask ourselves a question this morning. How do you listen? Do you listen with attention, with a willing heart to be a doer of the word of God? And Jesus Christ said this, pay attention to what you hear. So those false teachers in those days, Jeremiah is effectively saying, close your ears to those false messages. Jesus said, pay attention to what you hear. So the preaching and the hearing of sound doctrine is the mark of true religion. And that's why preaching will always come under pressure. Preaching will always come under pressure because Satan hates it. And the world doesn't like it either. And even in my own lifetime as a Christian, preaching has come under pressure. I've even heard people writing books and saying, we don't need preaching. People don't like to be preached to. They want to have some dialogue. But we need preaching. Jeremiah was a preacher. Jesus was a preacher. Paul was a preacher. And so preaching continues until Christ comes. So hearing is the mark of true religion. Secondly, and this thrills my soul in verse 22, do you not fear me, declares the Lord. Do you not tremble before me? Fearing God is an important mark of true religion. It's hard to quantify sometimes the fear of God, isn't it? But we're praying for that for ourselves, for our children. We want to communicate to them something of the fear of God. God is holy and awesome. He's loving. He's compassionate. He's gentle. But he's to be feared. And fear is the opposite of anxiousness. Jesus says, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Jesus uses ravens and lilies. You know a raven? It's a big bird. And Jesus says, look at the ravens, how God feeds them. Look at the lilies, how he cares for them. And so true religion gets us to focus on fearing God. Is that something that you and I could pray for, that we would grow in the Lord? Here's a pastoral verse for all of us, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Are you facing trials and pressures this morning? Let's hear the word of God. Be still and know that I am God. What a promise that is for us. So a first mark is hear this, the importance of hearing of the truth. Secondly is the mark of the fear of God, of true religion. And thirdly, sin and iniquity is exposed in preaching, in true religion. True religion won't leave us content. It will preach Matthew 5:3, which Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And so when you're made and reminded of being poor in spirit, it should make us lean upon the Lord. And Jesus preached and said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crying crippled with two hands than to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. True religion is not ashamed to talk about hell. Not in a fundamentalist sense to beat people down, but the truth of God. Hell. That's what happens to people, where people go who do not repent. But aren't we thankful this morning for the people of God, that even when we do let the Lord down, when we do sin, that Christ says, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden." What a wonderful thought it is that we can run to Christ. When we commit sin, we want to run to Jesus Christ. Confess our sin as it is, but then we walk in the light as he is in the light, and not run from Christ, but run to him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Jesus is like Jeremiah. He would preach the gospel and not everyone would listen. There was even a time his own disciples considered leaving him. And then Peter said, "But you alone have the words of eternal life." So there'll be the mark of the fear of God. There'll be a mark of the importance of hearing, that sin and iniquity will be exposed, and fourthly, true teaching and true teachers. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says here, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths." They will preach from the word of God and carry on doing what Jesus did, Matthew 28, to make disciples. The content of the message to be heard is very, very important. Jesus said, go and preach of the crucifixion of Christ, his resurrection, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. 5:20, declare this in the house of Jacob, proclaim it in Judah. And so the offer of forgiveness of sins is always offered, but men and women must repent. So the emphasis for Jeremiah, the emphasis for Jesus, the emphasis for Paul, who said he preached the whole counsel of God, is the content of the message. And then it says, as we close this morning, in 5:30, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so." Why is this focusing on this morning, spiritual answers in perplexing times? It's perplexing for the elect when false teaching abounds. And so it was then. And when you look and you think, well, these people, in Jeremiah's day, they profess to know God, and they love things that are so opposite to the word of God. And for true religion has to be four things, but also against falsehood as well. And Jeremiah had to stand against those things, as Jesus did, so that the lambs could be fed, the sheep could be fed, not with straw, but with wheat, with grass, to be nourished. My people love to have it so. It's perplexing for the people of God when we see all kinds of things happening. But Jeremiah chapter 5 says, these things will happen and will continue to keep happening until Christ comes back. So the days that we live in, the days that others have lived in, when people only a few years before in our own land used to deny the resurrection, boundary lines have changed. And so here we see Jeremiah is preparing the way for the coming of Christ. We see the love of God comes through Jeremiah chapter 5 as the Lord is bringing correction for the people of God and making clear the difference between false religion among God's people and true religion. And we must never forget in our own day, as in Jeremiah's day, that there's always will be a remnant chosen by grace. In 5:18, "I will not make a full end of you, declares the Lord." And in closing this morning, let us never forget the importance of preaching. In 5:20, it says, "Declare this in the house of Jacob." What that means is, it's an imperative, first of all, is to cause this message to be proclaimed. Perhaps Jeremiah felt like shrinking back. Oh Lord, I feel too ill to go to work today, Lord. Lord, I think I'm feeling a little bit ill. I'm going to take a week off. And then at the end of the week, the word comes to him again. Declare this. Cause it to be declared. And so you must fear God and not the face of men. Proclaim it. Actually, the word proclaim actually there is from the root verb of hearing. And what it's meaning is cause to be heard. And so it's to be made known on the hilltops and other places, whether they will listen or not. And so we see the emphasis in the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah was a preacher. And so we want to pray and look to the Lord for the blessing upon preaching in every generation and through our own generation. Nothing can substitute the preaching of sound words from the Word of God. So as we close this morning, we see that Jeremiah was a preacher. Jesus Christ was a preacher. Jesus Christ is crucified on the cross. He ascends to heaven. And now, in generations, he sends forth men to preach. May the Lord help us to remain faithful to him. Faithful in season and out of season. May we learn from Jeremiah's example, who didn't shrink back. He remained faithful. Even when they put him into a system, he remained faithful to the Lord. And may the Lord's grace help us to focus on the same path, the ancient path, of remaining faithful to the Lord to the end. And may God's grace help us in that endeavor. Amen.